Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. Here's what the Bible says. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. You can probably tell from the first phrase of that verse, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about backsliding. Backsliding is something I think all of us have experienced one time in our life, or we've seen it in the lives of others that have been around us. And it's not a new problem. In fact, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, and if you read in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, you'll see that the first two human beings that ever existed that had a relationship with God took part in this thing called backsliding. And it's been a problem down through the ages, and it's still a problem today. And I want us to look at what God says about it, first of all, in this verse. And I have a couple other verses that I want to share with you about the progression of backsliding if we don't stop it at the beginning. And then I want to end by giving you some practical things to do to prevent backsliding. But if you still have your Bibles open, just look there in Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. And again, just the first phrase, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Now, who of you tonight would say, and with an uplifted hand, I belong to God. I've been saved. I've claimed him as my God, and I have chosen to identify myself with him. If that's your testimony tonight, raise your hand and hold it up just for a second. All right, thank you. Everybody raised their hand, and everybody, because you raised your hand, is a candidate for backsliding. Because that verse starts out by saying, my people. You see, and I think everybody's saved tonight, but if there was somebody here tonight that wasn't saved, they don't have to worry about backsliding. I mean, they got a bigger problem because they're headed for hell. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already. But if they've never been saved, if they've never chosen God as their God, if they've never chosen to be identified as one of God's people, they don't need to worry about backsliding. I mean, they need to worry about hell. They need to worry about getting right with God. I mean, and if you're here tonight and you're not saved, what you need to do tonight is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. Just like Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer in answer to his question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so everybody that's been saved, everybody that has identified with God is part of that group that says in what that's identified here in this verse, and my people are potential backsliders. And then it says, and my people are bent to backsliding. Bent to backsliding. That's our leaning. That's our tendency. That's what we'll do naturally if we don't watch it. It's that bent or that natural tendency toward backsliding is part of the result because we still have the old nature that's still part of us. When we got saved, we got a new nature. We got the Holy Spirit that moved in, took up residence in our bodies. But unfortunately, he didn't kick the old nature out. The old nature won't be ejected until we get a new body, when we die and go to heaven, or when we're raptured and we go to heaven. And so there's still a conflict inside of us between that old nature, that new nature, that old man, that new man, however you want to say it, and that's the nature that gives us that tendency or that bent toward backsliding. And then notice what it says next, from me. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. That's exactly what backsliding is. It's getting further and further away from God. Brother Chuck, stand up for just a minute. Let Brother Chuck tonight represent God. If I, as a Christian, am growing, here's what that means. That means I am getting more and more closer to God. That's what Christian growth is. As I surrender my will to his, as I study, I get closer and closer to God. But when I start going backwards, When I get further and further away from God, I'm backsliding. Okay, thank you, Brother Chuck. So some people want to have a big theological debates about what backsliding is. It's real simple. It's getting further and further away from God. And let me just tell you tonight, it's a whole lot easier to backslide than it is to grow. If you're going to grow as a Christian, you're going to have to work. But if you're going to backslide as a Christian, all you have to do is nothing. It's sort of like being on a hill in a stick shift car. Now, some of you may have, those may have been before your time. You know, we have all automatics today, but they still make a stick shift every once in a while. But in a stick shift car on a hill, if you're going to go up the hill in a stick shift car, the car's got to be in gear. You got to have that gas pedal down, and the engine and the transmission got to be working. I mean, the car's got to work. But if you're on a hill in a stick shift car and you put it in neutral, what will happen? You'll be going downhill. You will be backsliding from the top of that hill. And so that's what I mean. To get closer to God takes work. To backslide, all you have to do is do nothing. That's why we sing that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I mean, if you're going to grow, you're going to press. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You see, if we're going to get on that higher ground, it's because we are pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, as Paul talks about. To get further away from God, all we got to do is do nothing. All we got to do is quit. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible tells us where backsliding starts. You don't need to turn to it, but here's what it says. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That's where it starts. Backsliding starts in the heart when we say, I want my own way. That verse, a verse we memorized not too long ago, Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, what the backslider says in his heart, I am not going to acknowledge God in my ways. In fact, I am going to want my own way. I'm going to want to make my own decisions. I'm going to make my own paths. I'm going to set my own priorities. And so here's what happens. Brother Chuck, stand up one more time. So here I am. As I grow, you know what he's going through, don't you, Brother Dan? As I grow as a Christian, here's what I do. I surrender more and more of my ways to God's ways. That's how you grow as a Christian. I let the Holy Spirit have more and more of me. I let the Holy Spirit make more and more of my decisions, set more and more of my priorities. And the closer I get to God, the more I and the closer you get to God, the more we are giving ourselves over to God and say, hey, God, I have no will of my own. Now, I don't want to do my will. I want to do your will. What did Jesus say? And he was closer to God than anybody. I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father. And when we get to, thanks, Brother Chuck, and when we get to the point in our life where we say, I don't have any desires anymore, I don't want my way anymore, I don't want to make my decisions anymore, I don't want to set my priorities anymore, I want God to do it all, that means we're growing as a Christian. And that's what God wants us to do. But when we say, well, I know better than God, I think I can make a better decision in this area, I think I can set a better priority. When we say, no, I'm just going to do this myself, that's the start of backsliding, and if we're not careful, we'll get further and further away from God. In fact, the Bible says that we as Christians, if we realize what we're doing and if we listen, our backsliding will reprove and rebuke us. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, and if you've ever experienced in your life, and again, most of us have because we're bent that way. But when we stop growing and we begin to back away from God, when we begin to demand our own way, when we say no to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have that part of my life, we are convicted of that by the Holy Spirit. And like that verse in Jeremiah says, our wickedness, our backslidings themselves, if we will listen to them, will reprove us. They'll correct us. They'll rebuke us. I know from personal experience, and I think you can, if you would think about it, you would say the same thing. I know when I get into situations where I said, no, I'm going to have my own way, God. I don't care what you, and you say, well, you're the preacher. You're not supposed to think like that. Sorry, I'm a human being. And there are times in my life where God and I argue, and I say to God, no. I know you want me to do that, but I'm just going to be stubborn in this one point, and I'm not going to do it. And I know when I say it, Bob, I know I'm wrong. And I am reproved by my backsliding. And that's a good thing. But the Bible goes on and says, if we don't listen to our own backslidings as a reproof, here's what we start to do. Jeremiah 3:11, and the Lord said unto me, thou, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. If we are not reproved by our backsliding, here's what we do. We start to explain it. We start to justify it. We start to make up reasons and excuses why we do it. We ignore the Bible, we ignore God, we ignore our backsliding itself, and we say things, well, it doesn't matter. I know what I'm doing, and nobody, even God, is going to tell me what to do. And if we're not careful, we'll move to the next stage where the Bible talks about it in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5, where it says, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. And so the Bible talks about perpetual backsliding, where I keep getting further. Stand up again, Brother Chuck. One more time. Okay? You look a little sleepy tonight, so I'm trying to help you. Perpetual backsliding. I mean, I keep getting further and further away from God. I may be reproved by my Sunday school teacher. I may be reproved by my preacher. I may be reproved by the Word of God as I read it. I may be reproved by my sin itself. But I say, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to have my way. And by the way, I can explain to anybody that cares to listen why I am going to have my way. And the Bible says, if we're not careful, we'll get into the perpetual backsliding. Okay, thank you, Brother Chuck. And then we'll go back to that verse that says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And if we're going to have our own ways, we're not going to have joy. We're not going to have peace. We're not going to have happiness. I think the best example in the whole Bible of a backslider and that shows the progression of backsliding is Lot. You know what happened to Lot? His herdsmen and his uncle Abraham's herdsmen got into an argument. God had blessed them both so much that their flocks were more than the land could bear. And the people that worked for them began to fight against one another as to who was going to have the water and who was going to have the best pasture. And so Abraham called Lot and said, hey, look, we're brethren. Let's not fight. Take your choice. And the Bible says that Lot looked, and in one direction there was a barren wilderness, and the other direction there was a well-watered plains. But those well-watered plains led to a city called Sodom, a city of wickedness. And Lot says, well, if you're giving me the choice, I'll take the well-watered plains. I'll take the place where my cattle can eat and where there's water for them to drink. And I'll just choose that direction, Uncle Abraham, if you're giving me my choice. And the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He's separated from Abraham, his uncle Abraham, who, by the way, I think was the source of his blessings. I think it was Abraham that kept Lot close to God. I think it was Abraham that kept Lot pointed toward God. And thank God for people that we have like that in our life who will keep us pointed toward God. Who keep, and maybe they're friends, maybe they're parents, maybe they're grandparents, but thank God for people that God uses to keep us pointed toward Him. But Lot separated himself from that anchor. He separated himself from Abraham, and the Bible says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And every day he would sit and look out the tent door, and he would see the well-watered plains, and he would see his cattle grazing on the grass, and he would see them drinking from the creeks, and he would see his wealth multiplying. But in his view, he also saw the city of Sodom. And here's what he got to thinking. Hey, you know what? I could probably make a little bit more money and be a little bit more successful if I moved into Sodom. I think I'll do that. And so instead of having his tent pitched toward Sodom, he moved right into the city. And then the next time you read about him in the Bible, he's sitting at the gate, which means he's become a ruler of the city. And step by step, he got further and further and further and further away from God. And when God sent the angels, or when God came himself to destroy Sodom, and he warned Lot about it, Lot went to his married children and said, look, destruction is coming. We got to get out of the city. The Bible says that they laughed at him. They didn't believe him. He took his wife and two unmarried daughters and left the city. But his wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. And I think if you, and I won't get into the sin that was committed between Lot and his daughter at the end of his life, but I think Lot is a perfect example of what happens. The Bible talks about Lot as being a righteous man. I think Lot's in heaven today. He was a righteous man, but he got away from God, and instead of being reproved by his sin, instead of being rebuked by what was going on in his life, he kept moving further and further and further away from God. Now, tonight, I want to give you some things that'll keep you from backsliding. I have 8 points tonight, but they're quick. I know what time it is, and so I won't let you out any later than I normally do, but I want to cover these 8 points. I like to be more practical on Sunday night. I like to, you know, I just like to help me. I like to help you. So here's 8 things that'll help us keep from backsliding. Number one, realize that it can happen to you. Realize that it can happen to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. When we get to the point that we say, it will never happen to me, when we get to the point where we say, it cannot happen to me, we need to watch it, because that's just like saying, sick 'em to the devil. When you get to the point in your life where you say, oh, I'm such a strong Christian, it can never, ever happen to me, watch out, you've taken the first step back. First step back. Number two, recognize the early signs so that when backsliding starts, you can stop it. What are the early signs? Well, here's a few of them. When you can go days without reading your Bible, that's a sign you're sliding back. When you can go days without spending time in prayer, that's the start of backsliding. When you start to miss church, now here's how it usually works. For Christians that come all the time, here's how it usually works. They start missing Wednesday night. Then they start missing Sunday night. Then they start missing Sunday school. Then they start missing the Sunday morning worship service. So when you see those things creep into your life, the other thing that starts happening, usually when people start backsliding, they start complaining about things. Everything's wrong. Everybody's wrong. And that goes to my third point. Don't try to justify it. You see, we always want to blame somebody else. We want to say, well, I've been hurt, or the preacher said something that I, or my Sunday school teacher said something that I didn't agree with, I took offense to, he did something that just really ticked me off. You're starting to backslide. And here's what we say, well, I'm going to get him. I'll get even with him. I'll just quit. Now, here's the deal. When you backslide, it will not hurt the hurter. If you think somebody's hurt you, when you backslide, it will not hurt the hurter. It will hurt the hurtee. That's you. That's deep preaching, isn't it, Dory? It will not hurt the hurter. It will hurt the hurtee. It'll make it even worse for you. And again, when we start to justifying what's going on in our life, we're like the guy that everywhere he went, every place he went, every room he went into, he said, it stinks in here. It's like, I can remember when I went to Korea. When you got off the plane, everything smelled like garlic. Brother Clint, you know what I'm talking about? Everything smelled like garlic. I mean, when you got into the taxi cab, it smelled like garlic. When you got into the airport, it smelled like garlic. Got into the hotel, it smelled like garlic. And this guy, every place he went, said, it stinks in here. Well, what he didn't know is he had a little bit of Lindbergh cheese stuck in his mustache. And it wasn't everybody else that was stinking, it was him that was stinking. And so that's what happens. I mean, we're like that when we start to backslide and we try to justify it. So don't justify it. So number one, realize that it can happen to you. It can happen to me. Let's recognize the early signs. If we quit reading our Bible, if we quit praying, if we quit coming to church, that's an early sign. And then number three, don't try to justify it. Don't try to explain it. Don't try to blame somebody else. Number four, count the cost. Ask yourself the question, do I really want to be a backslider? Do I really want to get further away from God? Because I guarantee you, the further you get away from God, there will be a price to pay. And you usually do not pay that price by yourself. I think if you could go to Lot at the end of his life and say, Lot, if you could change one thing in your life, what would you change? I think tears would roll down his cheeks and he'd say, I go back to that day when Abraham said, Lot, choose which way you want to go. And I'd say, Abraham, I don't want to go. I want to stay right here with you. You can have my animals, you can have my cattle, you figure out how we're going to feed them, you can figure out how we're going to water them, but I don't want to leave. I want to stay right here by you. And so count the cost. It always costs to get away from God, and there'll be a price, and we don't usually pay it by ourselves. Number five, stand. If you think you're backsliding, just stop and don't move. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Sometimes we can't press on the upward way. Sometimes we can't get closer to God. And when those times come in our life, when it seems like our prayers are not going past the ceiling, when it seems like the Bible's not speaking to us, when it seems like we're not getting anything out of coming to church, and we have that tendency to want to just back off a little bit, instead of backing off, just decide, hey, I'm standing. I mean, turn around and draw a line behind you and say, I'm not crossing that line. I may not be going forward. I may not be getting closer to God. I may not be growing, but I'm sure not going backwards. I'm just going to stand. Stand. Number six, read the Bible a lot. I mean, it's the last thing you want to do. It's the thing you need to do the most. Just read the Bible. Say, hey, Brother Darrell, when I'm in a state like that, I don't get anything out of it. Doesn't matter. Just read the Bible. Well, it's boring when I'm in a state like that. Doesn't matter. Just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Let the Word of God speak to you. Bathe in the love of God. Bathe in the fact that you have a God, and be reminded that you have a God who can do the impossible, that's able, that will never bring anything into your life that you can't handle. Just stay in the Word of God. Number 7, go through the motions. Go through the motions. If your heart's not in it, then do it anyway. If your heart's not in reading the Bible, do it anyway. If your heart's not into praying, do it anyway. If your heart's not into coming to church, do it anyway. If your heart's not into teaching your Sunday school class, do it anyway. If your heart's not into singing in the choir, do it anyway. If your heart's not into preaching, do it anyway. I'll be honest with you. There are some Sunday mornings that I get up, and the alarm goes off early on Sunday morning. I just want to reach over and hit the snooze control and turn over and go back to sleep and say, I just like to sleep in this morning. Everybody else gets to do it every once in a while. Why can't I? And then there's a still, small voice. Sometimes it's a female voice, but a still, small voice that says, hey, stupid, you're the pastor. Get up. Now, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit, too. Get up. And usually when I feel like that, along about 11 or 11:30, after I've gone through the motions to get here and go to Sunday school and do all that, my heart's right, and I can preach. But just go through the motions. And then number 8, stay close. Stay close. Here's what I mean by that. Peter backslid. He denied Christ. He quit being a disciple. He went fishing. Anybody remember where he went fishing? Sea of Galilee. You know what happened on the Sea of Galilee? It was beside the Sea of Galilee that Jesus of Nazareth got into his boat one day, and he said, Peter, hey, I'd like to use your boat as a pulpit. Just sort of launch out a little bit. Peter did, and Jesus sat on the back of that boat and taught the crowds that were gathered around. And he said after he got through teaching, he said, hey, Peter, let's go fishing. And Peter said, man, we fished all night. We haven't caught nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, we'll go out. Two of them went out. They threw the net over the side of the boat. They caught so many fish. Peter even had to call for his partners, James and John. They came out. They filled up both boats with so many fish, they began to sink. And so that night that Peter was out there after having quit being a disciple, he was on the same lake, and I'm sure he thought to himself, hey, this is the place that I heard Jesus teach. This is where we caught all those fish that day. It was the same lake where one day he was mending his nets and Jesus came by and said, hey, Peter, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And Peter left everything that he was doing and followed Jesus. And so when he was out there fishing that night after having denied Christ and after having quit being a disciple, he could probably look over to a spot on the shore and said, that's where I was when Jesus called me and I became one of his disciples. It's the same lake that one night in the middle of a storm, they saw what they thought was a ghost come walking toward them. And they heard Jesus say, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter said, hey, Lord, if it's really you, could I come out there and walk with you? Jesus said, sure, come on. Peter jumped down out of that boat and took some steps toward Jesus and looked around and saw the waves and heard the wind and felt the wind and got a little bit scared and started to sink. And prayed the shortest prayer in the Bible, save me! And Jesus reached down and grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. And when Peter was out there fishing that night after he denied Christ and after he quit being a disciple, I'm sure he could look at a spot in the lake and said, I walked on that spot one time. That's where Jesus pulled me out of the deep. Stay close. Stay close. If you start to backslide and you want to quit, stay in the place where maybe you got saved. Stay in the place where maybe you got baptized. Stay in the place where you serve God and felt the joy of serving God. Stay close. And I guarantee if you do, Jesus one day will come to you just like he did to Peter that night, said, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" We sang the song tonight. We love him because he first loved us. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Stay close. Stay close. And Jesus will say, "Well, if you love me, go feed my sheep. Quit standing still. Quit going backwards." Hey, there's men and women, there's boys and girls, there's a whole world out there that's dying and going to hell. And they need somebody to tell them about Jesus. You can't do that when you're moving backwards. Usually when we're moving backwards, we're all wrapped up in ourselves and we don't care about anybody else. It's when we're moving forward. It's when we're getting closer to God that we care about other people and can tell them about Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the practical things it teaches us. And I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I know I'm preaching to those that, if you go by all the outward signs, we're still pressing on the upward way. But it can happen to any of us. And so I pray, Father, that you'd help us guard our lives. I pray that when we see this natural tendency, this bent that we have to start backing away from you and wanting our own way, that you'd slap us up beside the head and say, "That's not the way it works." The Bible says you chasten who you love. And so, Father, we invite you that when we do start stepping backwards, for you to just come up and smack us and say, "No, no, 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 not backwards, forwards." I pray tonight, I think everybody here tonight knows Christ as their Savior, but you know our hearts. If there's somebody that's here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, I pray you help them understand that they're a sinner. Help them understand that Jesus paid the price for their sin. Help them to come tonight and receive him as their personal Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.